Seth Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this day, and we're grateful for this great and awesome story we're going to be able to tell the next few days. We ask you to bless everybody's heart with it, Lord, and if anybody wants this story, all they need to do is contact us via our website or by telephone, and we'll be happy to send them the entire story. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you raised from the dead and you went back to the third heaven, you took your box up there in heaven with all these promises, and you went up on your side like that safety deposit box that I used to have down at the bank. When I go down to the bank, I couldn't go in. I could take my key, but I couldn't get in unless it was a man or a woman went with me with another key. And we two went in, and they put their key in one side, and my key in another, and the door opened. I thought, Lord, if I'm looking at this right, when you went back to heaven, you put your key in your side, and you turned it. And you said, now, Father, Jesus had done for these people on the earth, I've put the key in, and I told them, I give them the keys of the kingdom, and whatever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All the promises that we've got for them, it's all theirs. Every time, I just go ahead and put my key and open it. And if they find the key, I give them the keys. If they find the key to healing, when they put theirs in there by faith and turn it, man, it's theirs. If they find the key to salvation, when they put their key in and turn it by faith, they're saved. When they find the key to prosperity, they put the key in and turn it, it's done. I've done all my work. I've done it. I'm now sat down at the right hand of the Father. I'm through. It's up to them now. It's up to them. I've done it all. Salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity for the church has been taken care of by the Savior. Now we have to learn how to tap into it. So I'm slowly learning how to tap into that. And so I prayed for this young boy, and I saw these warts go off of his hand. What does that kind of do to you? You know, you get excited, that's right. I mean, it's kind of like, you know what the first thing you want to say whenever you pray for somebody and you see something happen and happen, you know what the first thing you want to say? It was a lady just like me. I can't believe this. Well, you don't do that but once, because if you do that, I don't know if any of you listen to my radio show every day, Monday through Friday at 1:30, but just before me, about an hour or whatever, Andrew Womack, he's been on the radio for years, and I just happened to be in my truck going somewhere the other day, and this man of God, I think Andrew's probably 10 years younger than I am, but anyway, he's a great young man of God. He said the other day he was at a church, and he prayed for a young boy that was totally cross-eyed. I mean, he said that boy was so cross-eyed, it was unreal. He said, I reached up and laid hands on him and commanded his eyes to be straight in the name of Jesus. And then I turned to him to say, now, son, whatever you do, believe God and your eyes will straighten up. But he wasn't ready for what happened. When he looked up, some of y'all may have heard that story. He looked up, and the minute he looked in that young man's eyes, his eyes just went straight, just like it is straight as a string. Put both of them right before his very eyes. God did a miracle on that boy. And you know what Andrew said? I can't believe it. And he said immediately both of them crossed completely again, just like they were. He said, I fell on my knees and said, oh God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for not believing you. And he said the Lord would not straighten that boy's eyes back out. That boy went home with his eyes as crooked as they came in. Now then, the God that we serve, what does he demand? Belief. He demands that we believe him. And I've come to realize we don't. We don't. Now then, just in case you were to take a magnificent promise like that promise that this young lady read a while ago in John 14, 13, and 14, if you take that promise and you do come to the Father in the name of Jesus, which is the only way you can enter the Holy of Holies, you can't get in there no other way, but when you come to the Father in the name of Jesus and ask him for something, if you say, well, I'm going to ask now if it be God's will for this to happen, or, Lord, if it's your will to heal this sister, or if it's your will, take the warts off the back of Cliff's hand, or whatever. That means I didn't really believe that promise in John 14, 13, and 14, because he said I could ask for anything, didn't he? So if I don't believe him, then I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and I want you to see what the Lord says he will not do for you if you don't ask in faith, believing. I want you to see why I used to never get an answer to my prayer. And I want to show you why so many people in the church today don't get an answer to a prayer. Because it's written in God's Word. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. What does that say?
But let him ask in faith.
Wait, let him ask in what?
Faith.
And again, we said that's total, complete trust and belief in the promise he made, right? Okay, let him ask in faith.
Nothing wavering.
Oh, nothing wavering. That means I don't say, well, Lord, let's try this, or I hope this works. That's wavering, isn't it? Nothing wavering. Okay, read on.
For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Did everybody hear what she said? You read it in your own Bible? Did your Bible read something like hers did? You see why God don't do nothing for us? I mean, after all, he is only the king of the universe. When he got this thing built, he said, oh, by the way, I want to put a few stars out there in the cosmos for y'all to look at. Just something so you'll have a little light at night to be beautiful and to remind you of who I am. And he says, and I made all the stars also. One little line over the book of Genesis. One little line. This little tiny galaxy that we live in, the sun, which is only 96 million miles away from the earth. The earth, which is about 7,200 miles straight through. And when you get past 25 miles down, it is molten, red, hot, white, hot, liquid material. The earth that you and I live on. 25 miles down. That's not very far. But it's molten, white, hot. It is spinning at about 1,000 miles an hour so that it makes one complete revolution every 24 hours and 0 seconds, and it never fails. You set your clock by it, can't you? Every day. And as it is turning at approximately 1,000 miles an hour so that we make one revolution every 24 hours and 0 seconds, you can walk outside some days and not even feel a breeze, can't you? But yet, you're rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. God made that. And then, for it to stay in orbit around the sun, which is 96 million miles to the sun, our forward velocity is a little over 40,000 miles an hour forward velocity to make that loop around the sun every 365 and one quarter days. How many of you knew we were going forward at about 40,000 plus miles an hour? You ever stop to think about that? Every day. And then, the galaxy that we live in is revolving around the center of the cosmos at almost 500,000 miles an hour. That's almost beyond mine and your comprehension, isn't it, young lady? But who made that? God. And since God made all of that, and then he made us the crown of his creation and made us just a little lower than himself and give us all these promises as his kids, and then we go through life letting the enemy beat up on us because we won't take his promises and believe him. Well, as I begin to learn these promises and I begin to see them work and I begin to understand that the God that we love and serve, he really means what he says. Every way. He tells me who I am and what I can do. But he tells me I must be obedient to him and obey him too. So I don't want to walk out there and sin, because when I walk in sin, I walk out there and give the devil legal right, and the devil come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And that's where so many of us are living, because we want to do things our way. We don't want to worship God. We don't want to put him first. We want to do things our way. And when we do, we walk out from under his protective umbrella, and the devil comes in to kill, steal, and to destroy. When you sin, you open a door to the devil, and he comes in. And then once he comes in, and he gets in, even though you repent, since we've been taught so wrong in the church that we don't have to cast out a demon because it's impossible for a Christian to have one. That's what's wrong with us. That's what is wrong with us. So when you realize you sin and a demon comes into you, now then, once you repent, you have to physically, with your mouth, command that spirit of whatever that came into you to leave you, or he does not leave you. And you'll go through life wondering, why I did all those things wrong? Why is it I can't control my thoughts here? Why is it that I seem to be going through having a good day and somebody says something, it's just like somebody pushed my button, all of a sudden I just blow up and I'm angry and violent and wild. And then a little bit later, you're, why did I do that? You did it because you got a demon living in you. That's why you did it. So when you repent, you have to go through deliverance. That's why the Lord said, in these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, you shall drive out demons. What would you think if you were sitting at home, blood washed, Holy Spirit filled, walking in the gifts of the Spirit, seeing your prayers answered, I mean, all kinds of miracles happening all around you, and one night you go to your computer and you think, Lord, I was reading the other night and I saw a couple of places where it said spirits of lying, spirits of wickedness, evil spirits, spirits of... I wonder how many times that word's used in the Bible. So I go do a lookup on spirits of. Wow, blew me away. I mean, so I began at the Genesis all the way through, and I was reading about all the different kinds of spirits. Many spirits of God, but many other kinds of spirits. A spirit of lying in the mouth of Ahab. I mean, what, Lord? A spirit of lying. A spirit of infirmity. I come over to Luke 13:11, and I've been reading for hours. I come over to Luke 13:11, and it says, and this woman which had a spirit of infirmity these 18 years, which could in no wise straighten herself up, right there, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice I could hear. He said, son, you have one of those living in your body. I said, Lord, I mean, I went through a deliverance 5 years ago, and we cast out every demon. I said, I said, Lord, infirmity means sickness or weakness. I said, Lord, I'm not sick and I'm not weak. What in the world is it? He said, it's your athlete's foot. I said, Lord, athlete's foot is a spirit? He said, yes, son. And in my name, you have authority over it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'd had that since I was a young teenager. When I went to Vietnam and when I got to where I was away from where I could get to a doctor, I come to a point I didn't realize. I realized there was an enemy out there trying to kill me, but I didn't realize I had an enemy living in me that was trying to kill me, because he was eating my toes off. And by the time I got to where I could get to a doctor, that guy told me, he said, if it had been more than two or three more days, we would have probably had to amputate your toes. He said, your toes are eat completely up with athlete's foot. I mean, it was this blood, and it's this raw meat under there to the bone.
Now, we'll start right there tomorrow with a continuation of this story. But if you'd like to have this entire story, which we will continue on with this week, we'll be happy to send it to you. All you need to do is contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And we'll be happy to send you the Caitlin story in its entirety, on audio, video, or whatever. Or if you would call us at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. And also, we have many other teachings on the web. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid if you'll just contact us. Praise the Lord Jesus. And remember, Jesus is Lord.